Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From WBUR Boston, this is special coverage of the 2004 Democratic presidential primaries. I'm Tom Ashbrook, host of On Point Public Radio's evening news program. The race for the Democratic presidential nomination goes truly national tonight. Primary voters in seven states, South Carolina, Oklahoma, Missouri, Delaware, New Mexico, North Dakota, and Arizona, have spent the day at the polls and caucuses. At stake, 269 delegates. But more than that, momentum and the chance to surge ahead or effectively be out of the race. With victories behind him in Iowa and New Hampshire, John Kerry comes into this day as frontrunner, hoping to cinch that standing. John Edwards is looking to snag South Carolina and ratchet up his challenge to Kerry, and projections just in suggest that Edwards may have done just that. Wesley Clark is gunning for a victory in Oklahoma, and before this night is out, we could hear a concession speech or two. We'll have reports from across the country tonight and welcome your calls as well. Had you hoped to see a nominee all but decided tonight, or do you want this Democratic contest to rumble on? How do you see the primaries shaping up so far? Does George Bush have a real emerging race on his hands? You can join the conversation tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me in the studio tonight is On Point News analyst Jack Beatty, senior editor at the Atlantic Monthly. And Jack, we have results already. This night is popping. South Carolina coming in with projections, and it's Edwards.
And it's Edwards, yes. And, Edwards' case, I mean, this race is starting to be an argument about electability. One argument is, I can go toe-to-toe on national security with George Bush. That's John Kerry. And the other argument is, I'm from the South, as he likes to say. When you look at some of these exit polls, the Edwards argument gets stronger. He carries male voters, 42%. He carries white men, 51%. He carries white voters in general, 50-28 over Kerry.
And we should say that at this moment, what we have is projections. The polls just closed in South Carolina at 7 p.m. The projections from CNN and elsewhere are John Edwards taking South Carolina, John Kerry in second place, and interestingly, Al Sharpton in third. He's made a showing there.
And he's not so far back. It's a close race between Kerry and Edwards. But this showing with white voters is going to is something we're going to hear about more because, of course, that's the key metric the Democrats have been missing in the South for years and years.
Well, right off the bat, though, we have tonight a situation where John Kerry does not get the sweep that he hoped for, that he might have taken out of tonight. No one counted on it, but there was a possibility he would come out with all seven states in his pocket.
Yes, he could have had a snowball. I mean, as of yesterday, in 16 polls in five states, he was either first or second, and he had not taken out an ad in any of those states before last week. That's pretty remarkable.
Very interesting tonight in Oklahoma. We have a close race there. It's not clear yet who's doing what, but John Edwards and Wesley Clark may be battling for the top spot there. John Kerry's still close, though. We'll have to see. Their polls close 1 hour from now. Let's go to South Carolina right now, Jack, where John Harwood is standing by to join us. He's political editor for the Wall Street Journal. He joins us from Columbia, South Carolina. Good evening and welcome, John Harwood. What do you see and hear down there tonight?
I see an ecstatic John Edwards campaign. I just talked to his general chairman over at party headquarters. He said, we're making history tonight by getting back in this race and defeating the New Hampshire primary winner decisively. We'll still have yet to see whether or not the results in Oklahoma really give him the double victory that he may need to be fully competitive as the principal challenger to John Kerry. But for right now, locked in a close race in Oklahoma, they're feeling very good.
What's the strategy for John Edwards tonight if they come out of this with a South Carolina win, John Harwood, if they come out with South Carolina and Oklahoma? How does he go forward?
With South Carolina and Oklahoma, they can claim with good reason we are the only candidate who has won besides John Kerry and who's won outside our native region because he'll have won in the West in Oklahoma and in the South. What he's going to try to do there after that is take a glancing step into Michigan, which is very expensive. They're not planning to advertise there. Neither is Kerry. Kerry's got a big lead. But really look next Tuesday to the two contests in Virginia and Tennessee. both Southern contests where John Edwards hopes his regional appeal will help him, but also places that are inexpensive enough that John Edwards, with a quick infusion of cash, can blanket Tennessee with ads and most of Virginia. The problem is in Northern Virginia, the Washington, D.C. suburbs, that's very expensive. It may be that Kerry can advertise there and John Edwards cannot.
John Harwood, where does the Edwards victory, now projected in South Carolina, put John Kerry tonight?
Well, John Kerry is still the front runner with the strongest likelihood of being the nominee. It appears that he will win at least five states, including Missouri and Arizona, the two biggest.
Mm-hmm.
He looks to win big in Michigan and Washington and perhaps even Maine, although Howard Dean might be able to pull out a victory in Maine this weekend. But he's on a roll right now, and somebody has got to prove they can really stop him. What Edwards has proven so far is that he's got a foothold in the race, but he hasn't proved that he can shut down John Kerry, and he's got a long way to go before he can do that.
Take us on down the list. Wesley Clark has trained his fire on Oklahoma. He's really hung his hopes on that state.
Yes, Wesley Clark's chances diminish with John Edwards' decisive victory in South Carolina, because you could have a situation where John Edwards puts together a strong win in South Carolina and, in essence, a photo finish at the top in Oklahoma. Wes Clark has done very poorly in South Carolina tonight. It appears he'll finish behind Al Sharpton, as will Howard Dean, even though there's a large number of military veterans in the state, and this was a place where Wes Clark once thought he could compete. He is appears to be getting beaten soundly in Arizona, which is another place where he's banked heavily. So Wesley Clark doesn't have a lot of places to go. It's going to be very difficult for him coming out of this night, even if he ekes out a victory in Oklahoma, to, in essence, be able to elbow John Edwards aside and say, I'm the guy to get in a one-on-one with John Kerry.
John Harwood, there in Columbia, South Carolina, we now have just a tiny portions of precincts actually reporting in that state, 5 out of 2008. But with that tiny percentage in, we've got John Edwards with 43% of the vote, John Kerry with 30% of the vote, and right on down, Al Sharpton, 5% in this count. Of course, it's very small and will change a lot. But you've been there for just a little bit now. What's your interpretation of how South Carolina has turned out? Is this all about Southern appeal, or is it about a lack of Northern appeal in South Carolina?
Well, I think it's substantially about the South's affinity for Native sons. The South has a stronger feeling of regional identification than any other part of the country. John Edwards represents neighboring North Carolina in the Senate. He was born in South Carolina, had a big rally in his birth town last night. I think that's substantially what it's all about. John Edwards is winning across the board tonight, all age groups, all income groups, blacks and whites, although he does much better among whites who are somewhat more moderate and conservative than John Kerry does. But this is really a rather convincing victory in a state where John Kerry matched John Edwards on television in the last week. You know, the Kerry campaign has been making a big deal of the fact that John Edwards spent more money than them in South Carolina. That's true, but John Kerry came down here riding a huge wave of momentum, and he tried to knock out Edwards with a substantial advertising campaign in the past week, and it has not worked.
It does not look like it's worked tonight. Let's take us on down the list, John. Howard Dean, he's been laying sort of low this round.
Howard Dean's chances are exceptionally bleak at this point. His aides admit that he's attempting a strategy that has never been successfully pulled off. He's essentially saying, I'm going to concede all seven states across the country on February the 3rd, even though I had campaigned in many of them, advertised in many of them. I've got no shot there. And he is proving that he has no shot by the results that we've seen so far. Now he's even saying he's not going to compete extremely aggressively in Michigan, the state, this weekend. He's putting all his chips in the center of the table, and there aren't that many chips, on the state of Wisconsin on February the 17th. He is hoping that he can somehow see Edwards and Clark and Lieberman all fall by the wayside before then, and he'll be the last guy standing against John Kerry. It's not likely that that's going to happen.
Lieberman, we're told, will withdraw this evening if he does not take Delaware. How's it look, John?
His chances in Delaware look very bleak. Delaware is a kind of state that is almost entirely governed in a situation like this by political momentum. That's because television advertising, to reach that state, you've got to advertise in Philadelphia, which is extremely expensive and inefficient for campaigns. So basically, people do a little bit of personal campaigning there, but they hope for a momentum wave. John Kerry has it. Needless to say, Joe Lieberman does not, and it appears very unlikely that he's going to get the miracle victory that he'd been counting on to stay in the race.
And John Harwood, very quickly, a last question there. Al Sharpton in third place in South Carolina at this moment. Who knows how it turns out? But if he comes out of South Carolina with a chunk of delegates in his pocket, what's he going to do with them?
He's going to keep running around the country. He's not going to find many venues as hospitable to him as South Carolina, where he's had time to do a lot of personal campaigning. Half of the vote in South Carolina, roughly, is African-American voters. That is his base. It looks like he's getting about 20% of that constituency tonight. There aren't a whole lot of places in Democratic primaries where half the vote comes from African Americans. So he'll stay in the race. He'll try to make some noise. He will have a few delegates in his pocket, but I don't think he's going to have a very large effect on the race from here on out.
Well, it's all Edwards celebration in South Carolina tonight. John Harwood, political editor for the Wall Street Journal in Columbia, South Carolina. Thanks so much for being with us.
You bet.
Jack Beatty, there it is. John Edwards made the victory he needed to stay in this race. He may even tease out another one in Oklahoma. This would mean a real ongoing contest.
It would. And if we discount Tennessee and Virginia, if we get the regional sort of discount, if he wins in those states on February 10th, that sets up the Wisconsin primary on February 17th as a decisive match in neither man's backyard between Kerry and Edwards.
That would be something, will be, maybe, something to watch February 17th in Wisconsin. Let's turn to Seattle, Washington now. Washington is up in this next round of primaries coming up just in a few days now. Kathy Allen joins us there. She's Democratic political strategist, head of the Seattle-based political consultancy Campaign Connection. She's run more than 150 campaigns in 30 states and three continents over time. Kathy Allen, good evening and welcome.
And more importantly, I'm a former Bostonian.
Oh, former Bostonian to boot. We're looking right across the country from that vantage tonight, Kathy. I'm sure you are too. John Edwards is happy at this moment. Polls closed in South Carolina, 7 o'clock. All the projections saying he's won it. What's it mean?
It's hometown hero to him, but now that I've got both Governor Dean, at the same time I've got Kerry less than four blocks away from me here, they've come to Seattle to get ready for the events on Saturday, which are our caucuses, when 75 to 95 of our delegates will be chosen. You wouldn't know it by the numbers that this is anything but getting close to the end. We look at it right now as a toe-to-toe between Kerry as well as Dean. And frankly, this is a place where Governor Dean has said this is his last stand, or he's looking at this as, if he can't win here, where can he win? Fact is that we have an interesting situation right now where we think that Kerry is doing quite well here in the big city of Seattle, even though this is expected to be, in fact, 2 weeks ago, it would have been a Howard Dean stronghold. Mm. We figure if the election had been held over 2 weeks ago, the fact is that Howard Dean was running way ahead.
And Kathy Allen, what about John Edwards? Is he a factor at all in Washington State? Might he become one with this victory tonight in South Carolina?
You know, it's unlikely. I think that his hometown sweetheart attitude back in South Carolina gives him an edge. He plays very well out here, but the campaign has certainly been slow to start, slow to move here. A number of interesting and wonderful attorneys in town, trial lawyers all, who have been supporting him, but the network has been weak, to say the best.
Edwards Network. Kathy Allen, then pull your lens back from Washington State. Look across the country. You've got Edwards, who seems to have brought home what he needed tonight, a victory in South Carolina, maybe something in Oklahoma. How does it change this race?
Well, when you're taking a look at the numbers that we're looking at from here, it would have been an upset if he hadn't won. The fact that Kerry looks pretty darn strong to be taking five tonight with a possible tight race too close to call in Oklahoma, but the early exit polls give me the confidence in taking a look at that big state of Missouri. I got to tell you that those Missouri numbers, they're very close to our own delegate count here in Washington State. And then taking a look at the numbers that we're seeing from Arizona right now, I think that we've got Kerry ahead in four states, probably five, and these are only numbers based upon the 2 and 3 o'clock exit polls. I think that we think Kerry's coming here tonight to say, you know what? Gotta make sure we don't run too fast and too hard. Don't start being arrogant. Don't start being out there looking like we are the winners. But from where we're sitting, it looks like an upset now would be to stop Kerry.
Of course, Jack, they're sitting in the north. The south is still down there. It's going to put a spotlight on that continental divide.
It is, and we're going to hear a lot about that in the campaign, and John Edwards is going to keep coming back to it and saying, well, no Democrat has made it to the White House without carrying five of these states. Folks, pay attention to me.
Pay attention to me. John Edwards, leading in South Carolina tonight. You can join our conversation. What are you looking for in the results tonight? Is it all about electability for you? And what does that mean? Who does that mean? You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. This is special coverage of the 2004 Democratic presidential primaries. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is special coverage of the 2004 Democratic presidential primaries. You can join our conversation tonight. We're looking at a John Edwards victory in South Carolina, it would appear, at this hour. John Edwards coming in first there, John Kerry behind, and Al Sharpton behind that. We're going to have results coming in all night long, seven states across the country tonight, in polls and caucuses. You can join the conversation. What are you looking for in tonight's results, and is it all about electability for you? What does that mean? Who does that mean? We're at 1-800-423-8255. I'm joined by my news analyst, Jack Beatty, tonight, here with me in the studio from Seattle, Washington, by Kathy Allen. And right now, from John Edwards' party headquarters in Columbia, South Carolina, Tim Grieve, political reporter for Salon.com. Hello, Tim Grieve. Can you hear us there?
I can hear you barely. It's a loud scene here, as you can imagine.
Well, tell us, is the victory seem to be assured there right now? Is the confetti in the air?
The balloons are still hanging from the ceiling, but victory is in the bag, I think. The networks have called it, and we're seeing numbers now that may be as high as a 50-28 sort of race with Edwards ahead of Kerry. So people are very excited in South Carolina.
We're looking here with just a few percent of precincts reporting at 45% for Edwards, 27% for Kerry, 9% for Al Sharpton. How much of a nail-biter was this for the Edwards campaign? Tim, you watched them as they came into this day. Did they think it was going to be close? Is this what they expected?
I think they were very nervous in the early part of the weekend. Some index polls that the mayor's office here in Columbia did had the race much closer, had at one point just one percentage point dividing Kerry and Edwards. But by last night, I think they thought they were pulling away. By early today, the people who had been working hard for Kerry were essentially conceding defeat.
So celebration there tonight, but the balloons have not dropped yet. Tim Grieve, stand by. We'll be back to you in just a few minutes. But thanks for being with us from John Edwards headquarters there.
Thanks for having me.
Kathy Allen, Jack Beatty, there's the sound of imminent celebration in South Carolina tonight, where, of course, John Kerry was hoping he could take it. It looks as though he has not. And smiling John Edwards, Jack, with his vision of two Americas, with his trial lawyer's skill with an audience, his spellbinding, stem-winding stump speech, has taken the state of his birth. He's, of course, senator from North Carolina, but this is where he was born.
Yes, and of course there'll be a discount applied to that victory for that very reason. But you mentioned his theme of the two Americas, and it is that. It is a theme. This is the first time in my lifetime since John F. Kennedy that a Democrat has actually had a theme and not a slogan. John F. Kennedy said, we have to get the country moving again. Well, that spoke exactly to the somnolence of the country under President Eisenhower, and it caught the zeitgeist. Mr. Edwards' theme, the two Americas, is immediately transparent on American society. We all know that's true. There's one for the connected and the privileged and one for the rest of us. And it's a cudgel to beat George Bush, who's the symbol and son of that kind of privilege. So it's an extremely effective weapon. And interestingly, his rise in Iowa coincided with his beginning to give that speech.
Kathy Allen, how about that Two Americas speech? Is that a theme that resonates in Washington State?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, we all woke up and said, yeah, who is this guy Edwards anyways? Maybe we need to pay attention here. The fact at that time we were all pretty much looking at Dean as the front runner, certainly somebody who was articulate and actually rousing people. We're from the land of anybody but Bush, anybody. That Abbott theme has been the strongest. The credibility of any candidate that can make a win for Democrats possible, much less probable. So what we've heard, we like the guy. I mean, he plays very well up here. It's just that we're looking for people to beat Bush. We come from the place where, remember, Gore won up here. This is like a place where we still have stubborn liberals, and the stubborn liberalism is something that has given Kucinich, who's up here right now, an ace in the hole in terms of looking at picking up a couple of votes here, enough to make him so that he can actually have some standing at the convention. He may pick up his first convention delegates here. The other part about it is that Edwards has been somebody that we love to listen to. We hear things like shallow resume. We hear things like new. We hear things like, yeah, we got to have a Southerner someplace on that ticket. We were much taken by surprise this weekend when, of course, we saw the combination of emails that came out, the Kerry Edwards team ticket, the one that was launched in Boston by Jim Spencer.
This is people hoping for that ticket. John Edwards saying, I'm not running for vice president. I'm sure he's not running for it tonight, but still, some people are latching on to that as a dream ticket.
Actually, we are. In fact, over here, what we've talked about is that Edwards is somebody that brings the depth of the South we know we have to appeal to in order to make that presidential claim possible.
Listeners, what are you looking for tonight? You can join our conversation at 1-800-423-8255. Tom is calling from Jamaica, New York. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you very much, Tom. How are you?
I'm great. Good to have you. What's on your mind?
Well, listen, you know, I think you're treating Al Sharpton almost like an invisible candidate. I mean, when I was listening to you, and I do on a regular basis, it seems so strange that, you know, you went from Edwards to Kerry to Dean to leave him in without, you know, mentioning Sharpton. And I think what has happened with this race in South Carolina is that you can obviously see now that Al Sharpton was no joke, and I would like to know what your feelings are about this at this present moment, why the story is not really about how well Sharpton did and what that means in terms of the African-American, African-Caribbean community and the vote.
Tom, it's a great question, and I have to say I think it's a while now since Al Sharpton was taken as a joke. We've had him on this show, and everybody has seen him right across the country as a very effective orator. In South Carolina, he's brought home the bacon tonight, Jack Beatty. He's got a piece of the vote down there, and as John Harwood said earlier, he's likely to ride that right on across the country, keeping his message out there, keeping his presence out there. We've got some numbers here. Maybe you can give us some interpretation, Jack, of what you see.
Well, it's interesting on that racial question. He got 18% of the African-American vote as against 37% for Edwards and 34% for Kerry.
So that put him in third place, or has at the moment in South Carolina, but still behind the other two. What kind of factor does that make Al Sharpton going forward, Jack? Does that make him, you know, he's a great talker, and he's mixed it up, and he's poked and prodded the other candidates. He's still in position to do that, clearly.
He is, and he makes a tremendous stage appearance. The other night, he brought down the House with a fabulous joke. He said that, you know, the reporters say to Kerry, they say, can you name a big maritime disaster? He says, sure, the sinking of the Titanic. And then the reporters say to Edwards, how many people died in that sinking? And the guy, and Edwards says, oh, must have been more than 1,000. And then they say to me, can you give me the names and addresses of all the people who died? So I think that speaks to what our caller is saying, that maybe the press doesn't give him the attention he would like, certainly.
And yet he's out there. Kathy Allen, of course, today is the first time coming out of sort of lily-white Iowa and lily-white New Hampshire that we have a more racially diverse electorate, primary electorate involved here. How do you expect race and ethnicity to play out as this campaign goes forward?
Well, you've got to wonder if the listener doesn't have something very important to say, given the fact that what we know is that right now, Sharpton's numbers are likely to get him at least standing at the convention, which is more than Kucinich has right now. I think that most of us look at Sharpton as well as Kucinich as conscience candidates, inclined to make the rest of us think about the Democratic Party we used to think was all for one and one for all. Mm. And, oh, by the way, you know, every time we talk about viability and whether or not a candidate is viable, I think that is most used as a term that covers the race issue. It's like, oh, he's not viable, he can't be viable, when we're really saying it's not the money so much, but that he's an African-American that's running at a time when we just don't see him catching fire.
Al Sharpton may not be viable as a winner, but he certainly made himself viable as a voice in this race.
He's been a conscience, and actually, I agree with you that we laugh with him, not at him any longer.
Kathy Allen, it's been great having you tonight. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Tom in Jamaica, New York, thank you for your call. I want to turn now to Houston, Texas, where we're joined by Earl Black. He's professor of political science at Rice University, co-author of The Rise of Southern Republicans and The Vital South, How Presidents Are Elected. His forthcoming book is The Politics of the Modern South. Good evening and welcome, Earl Black.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Even evening. The day is just rolling forward here. Earl Black, we've got that Southern candidate, John Edwards, taking that Southern state. How do you see the South playing out in the Democratic primary season ahead? How do you see it playing out in the general election? How important is it to have a Southerner on that ticket, a Southerner at the head of that ticket?
Well, let's say, got a lot of questions there. Let me start with the Democratic primaries first. I think in the Democratic primaries, from the standpoint of these candidates, a delegate is a delegate wherever they are found. Practically all of the people who came into South Carolina, at least going back a few weeks, really looked at that as the opportunity to make a mark in the first Democratic primary in a state with a large African-American electorate. Howard Dean famously was going through one strategy after another for introducing himself into that environment. Of course, he faded. General Clark put perhaps $2 million into the South Carolina campaign, to really pull out after New Hampshire. So that left it as a fight between Senator John Edwards of North Carolina, but born in South Carolina, who has spent really more time and money in South Carolina than anyone else, and had a certain advantage from the neighboring state perspective. Al Sharpton, who had really no money to speak of, but spent a tremendous amount of time in South Carolina, especially working black churches, black colleges, and on a shoestring, attempting to make a statement in an electorate that I don't know at this point what the racial composition of the South Carolina Democratic primary voters were.
Well, it's one of the largest percentages of black voters in the country, we're told.
No question about that, but I don't know what the facts are yet as to what percentage of the Democratic voters today were African-American or white.
All of that will
be pretty substantial.
Mm-hmm, that will unfold in time here. Earl Black, John Kerry indicated not so many days ago that it might be possible for a Democrat to win the general election without the South.
His math is absolutely correct. It is possible to do that, given the redistribution of the Electoral College votes after the 2000 census.
How would that work? What would that require?
Okay, here would be the scenario. The South has 153 electoral votes. If a Democratic candidate wins 0% of that 153 electoral votes, then that candidate has to get 270 electoral votes out of the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. Let's just call that the North.
Mm-hmm.
And the percentage that would be required is 70%. So it can be done. The problem for the Democrats is that if you really run on an explicit strategy like that, you don't leave yourself much margin for error. And so what Democrats in recent times have done, starting with Bill Clinton in 1992, continuing with Al Gore, is to target selected Southern states, put money and resources into a few states, hoping that could be combined with tremendous success outside the South and produce victories, as happened for Bill Clinton twice and nearly happened for Al Gore. Al Gore almost won the presidency with a purely northern strategy. He really targeted Florida, Tennessee, Arkansas, only three of the 11 southern states.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that if John Kerry winds up as the Democratic nominee, and that looks like the most likely possibility here. Then that's really where Kerry will wind up. What I find really quite startling about Kerry has been his tendency, he's done this two or three times, to talk publicly about, well, a Democrat really doesn't need the South. That may
doesn't
be,
win many votes, does it?
That may be true, but it's an odd way to come into South Carolina or other southern states next week, at the end of this week, and really go after your vote. So I suspect that we'll hear less of that.
That line may
that
go
line
away.
In public, at least.
We're looking at the first of seven states that will be checking in tonight, South Carolina, where at this hour, John Edwards has taken the state with 46% of the vote. That's with 18% of precincts reporting. John Kerry following in number two spot with 29%. Al Sharpton in third with 9%. Then Wesley Clark with 7%. Howard Dean with 5%. Joe Lieberman 3% and Kucinich with 1%. You're listening to special coverage of the 2004 Democratic presidential primaries. Jack Meade, how about this Southern strategy or un-strategy that John Kerry and Earl Black are talking about here? John Edwards says, vote for me because you need the South and I can bring it to the table. John Kerry's been saying, well, maybe we don't need it.
He has, and, you know, I'm looking at an electoral map that says it's possible. It's the electoral map for the 1896 election. And,
that's a few years back,
a few
Jeff.
Years
1896.
Back. But what it shows is the Republicans is strong in the very places now that the Democrats are strong, and that there was a kind of flip.
That the Democrats were strong a century and more ago.
The red states that won in 2000 lost because they went for William Jennings Bryan, the Democrat, in 1896, and the blue states were the Republican states then, and they were the winning states. So the Republicans routinely won elections without the South. The difference, of course, is that the South has grown immensely in population and in electoral votes ever since then, making that more and more a risky move, and also creating problems for those five open Senate seats down there. Five Democrats have retired. What's it going to be like for people running for the Senate in, say, I don't know, Louisiana, having a Democratic presidential candidate muttering, well, we really don't need the South? That's not so good.
And a lot of those Senate seats very much at risk for the Democrat Party. Republicans, their eye on a bunch of victories out of those five. We'll talk more about that, but I want to turn to our callers. Mark is calling from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Hi. Welcome from the deep freeze.
Yes. Good to hear from you. Iowa, we remember you well.
Yeah, it's like a spot on the map now. But, the reason for my call, I have been a Republican all my life, and the reason for my call is that, you know, looking at everything that's going on, I went to my first caucus this year in Cedar Rapids on the Republican side, and I found Mr. Giuliani to be a nice man, but not as polished as I saw him as to be on TV, which was kind of a surprise. And that was kind of a letdown. And then I think all the concerns or the statements made as our parents told us growing up, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, and there seems to be an awful lot of smoke around Mr. Bush these days.
What do you see in the Democratic lineup, Mark? What do you see in these contenders?
I see Edwards through. I really do. I think Edwards is good. I think he's clean. I think he represents a very presidential manner. And I think he's really got a heart for the regular guy, if you will, along with having the verbiage and the demeanor to come across to others as, hey, I know what I'm talking about.
Is he appealing enough? Is he appealing enough to pull you out of your party and into the Democratic ranks this fall or not?
To one extent, there's one slight flaw, and that is and there's a gray area we all deal with, but I am pro-life, and I don't believe he is. But I got to tell you, on every other aspect, if someone said, hey, do you want to switch parties and vote for Mr. Edwards today versus Mr. Bush, hands down, I would do it.
Wow.
I think it's a fresh, honest change, and as I said, I've been a Republican all my life, and I'm not as adequate. Don't have the education everybody else probably has with the whole process. But
it sounds like you're doing just fine, Mark, and we've got the picture. Thanks for your call. Earl Black, there's another impression that John Edwards made just a couple of weeks ago in Iowa. That's appeal talking.
Yes, John Edwards has some tremendous political campaign skills. He has been, of course, in the Senate for one term. Doesn't have the experience of John Kerry in the United States Senate, and that's a point that I noticed that Kerry has been making of late. Most likely problem for Edwards, though, is how to really break out of the South. He's won the decisive victory that he needed in South Carolina, so he certainly can go on. But I think it's going to be difficult for him.
There's a long trail.
Well,
Earl Black, stand by. We have to take a short break here. Jack Beatty, this is live special coverage of the 2004 Democratic presidential primaries. I'm Tom Ashbrook. We'll be right back. This is special coverage of the 2004 Democratic presidential primaries. I'm Tom Ashbrook, host of On Point Public Radio's evening news program, and we have results in at this hour only from South Carolina, out of the seven states that will report in their Democratic primaries and caucuses tonight. But in that state, which John Edwards needed to win, he said, to stay in this race, he has won. John Edwards, with 24% of South Carolina precincts now reporting 46% of the vote, 29% for John Kerry, 9% for Al Sharpton, 7% for Clark, 5% for Dean, 3% for Lieberman, 1% for Kucinich. I'm joined tonight in the studio by Jack Beatty, On Point News analyst, and from Houston, Texas, by Earl Black, professor of political science at Rice University. Jack, Earl was talking just before the break, and our caller was talking about Republicans sort of looking over the fence at John Edwards. There's some numbers out of South Carolina today that may speak to this.
Well, 10% of the South Carolina electorate called itself satisfied with the Bush administration. And from that group, John Edwards got 63% of the vote, as against 11% for John Kerry. Now, that says that Republican-leaning Democrats or independents like John Edwards. On the other hand, to balance that, he did the one group he did poorly among were those who most valued electability, which is not going to necessarily help his argument. Those people picked Kerry.
And we've got a lot more states to report in tonight. And in most of what's remaining to come, John Kerry, if the polls are right, looks in a fairly comfortable situation. Earl Black, you were saying that John Edwards has a box that's going to be difficult to break out of, even with this momentum. And yet, there he is, plowing on into this race. John Kerry's got to be thinking what tonight about John Edwards? Does he have to usurp some of his message in the same way that candidates have taken up Howard Dean's message since he fell back? Are we going to hear John Kerry start to talk about two Americas?
I don't think John Kerry is actually worried a great deal about John Edwards. Remember, in South Carolina, prior to New Hampshire and Iowa, mm-hmm. John Kerry was polling in the very low single digits in South Carolina.
So at 29%, he may see it as a pretty good bump up.
29% is a demonstration of that momentum coming out of New Hampshire. And I think John Kerry had the best of all possible worlds. Finishing a strong second in a state where he had no prospects several weeks ago is a strong demonstration, because he has in South Carolina buried every other candidate mm-hmm. except John Edwards. And if down the road John Edwards gets serious consideration as a vice presidential candidate, then it's not a bad idea for Kerry to have a vice presidential candidate who has won a primary in a part of the region that is going to be pretty difficult for John Kerry.
We've got some John Edwards campaign headquarters cheering in the background right now. Earl Black, you mentioned earlier about the South and what it would take to win and how much of it, if any, it would be necessary for a Democrat to win. In as much as we're going to be talking about New Mexico and Arizona tonight, how do you define the South? How far west does it stretch?
I use the 11-state definition of the former Confederate states, the states that actually went to war in the Civil War. That's an 11-state definition that goes from Virginia over to Texas. New Mexico, Arizona would be southwestern states. Oklahoma would be Oklahoma didn't exist at the time of the Civil War, but that's more of a border state. Mm-hmm. All of those states are states where I think John Kerry's going to do pretty well. Now, Oklahoma seems very, very competitive. That's the other state that John Edwards might wind up winning. But Edwards has this problem that, you know, unlike, say, Jimmy Carter, mm-hmm. who really launched his presidential campaign by doing well in New Hampshire, John Edwards really underperformed in New Hampshire. He came in fourth place with 12% of the vote. I'm sure that was a big disappointment. He has now recovered in South Carolina, but he's going to have the problem, I think, of continuing to win, especially in states that are outside the South.
We are already hearing a lot about a Kerry Edwards ticket. This is putting the cart way ahead of the horse. John Edwards insists he is in this race for the long haul, and with the victory tonight, that's not likely to go away. But if and when we get around to it, Earl Black, what would that ticket look like in the South? Is that a ticket that could peel away some southern states from George Bush?
I think it would make the South more competitive than a number of other states. I think, in general, the Southern Democrats are much, much relieved that Howard Dean has disappeared. Hmm. Howard Dean would have been the nightmare Democratic presidential candidate for Southern Democrats. I can't think of one who would have campaigned, one statewide Democrat who would have campaigned with him. John Edwards ticket would be quite different. I think that would be competitive. Right now, I think, assuming the Republicans were in a campaigning mode, I think Bush would win every Southern state, but that doesn't mean that by the time we get to the election, we might not have several southern states that would be very competitive indeed.
And, of course, Jack, it would mean, I suppose, that George Bush would have to pour more dollars into the South, which would come out of the North and West.
Which is so crucial, because if you allow them to lock up the South, they can then pour all their resources into Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. And to make them sweat down there is the Democrats, if they can't win, at least to make them sweat is their strategy.
More cheers behind us right now from Columbia, South Carolina, where John Edwards' faithful are celebrating tonight. John Edwards in first place with 45% of the vote in South Carolina, followed by John Kerry at 29, Al Sharpton at 9%. Rob is calling from Boston, Massachusetts. Hi, Rob, you're on the air.
Hi, yes, I was calling because I had a question that perhaps some of your guests could comment on. I was just wondering if, given that voters are talking so much about electability, mm-hmm. which obviously means such a different thing in different places that we're seeing, and at the same time pundits are having difficulty picking a front runner, at least early on, whether that sort of points to the fact that maybe the Democratic Party on the actual issues is quite divided and doesn't have too many other things to sort of unify itself around.
You're saying all they can agree on is electability, and there's a lot of bumps under the rug?
Well, that's a little bit more extreme, but yes, that, you know, when it comes to taxes, military, the war, et cetera, there's actually a lot of diversity out there, and it's hard to sort of bring people together around a message around some specific issues.
Rob,
let
us pick that up, and thanks for your call. Earl Black, how are you interpreting this call for electability, and is it disguising divisions in the party that may come back to bite it later in this campaign season?
Well, that's certainly possible. I think what unites the Democrats across the nation is the urgent desire to defeat President Bush. That will paper over a large number of issue differences. There is one issue difference between Edwards and Kerry that may surface as we move into the northern states, for example, in Michigan, and that's NAFTA. Because John Kerry, I believe, voted for it. He may certainly have some qualifications. Mm-hmm. But Edwards, of course, wasn't in the Senate when
right.
it passed, but he's against it. And I suspect that if he's really serious about wanting to win the nomination, that's an issue that has worked for him in South Carolina. I think he would take that into the other primaries where he wants to contest.
So that's one that Edwards and Kerry have already traded some pretty sharp blows on just in the last day or two, Jeff.
That's right. I think that will intensify in the weeks ahead. And that would be an illustration, I think, of the caller's point.
Jack, your thoughts on this electability issue and whether it papers over problematic differences for the Democrats?
Well, I it does seem to me that the Democrats on issues are more united now than they have been in a long, long time. And what unites them all is a populist thrust. This is really kind of going back to some unfinished interpretive business from the 2000 election. There were two reads on why Gore lost. One, the DLCs, the Democrats Leadership Conference, the conservative Democrat take on it was he was too populist. He spoke against, I'm going to defend you against the interests, the mm-hmm. people against the powerful. The other interpretation was he lost because he laid off the populist note that he struck in the Democratic convention. So the Democrats this year are answering with the left-wing Democrats of 2000 and saying, yes, that's why he lost. He wasn't populist enough.
Well, here are some numbers that may speak to that populist appeal. In South Carolina today, more than 200,000 voters have turned out, nearly doubling the old party primary record. Nearly doubling. That's a big turnout. Oklahoma also expecting a record turnout, perhaps 400,000 voters. That would be three times the Democratic primary vote of 4 years ago. Officials in Arizona and New Mexico also expecting a better than usual turnout. Roblack, I know we just have you for a minute more. Look into your crystal ball for us. How do you see this race unfolding?
Well, I think John Kerry's in the driver's seat. He's going to win either five or six elections tonight. He's going to be way ahead in terms of delegates. He's going to be able to raise money on a much more extensive basis than anybody else. I think Kerry will continue on, but will take his fight against Edwards will continue on, but take his fight in a very diplomatic way, since even though he says he wouldn't take vice president, American politics has usually changed the minds of people very quickly once they are offered that position.
And he's not running again for the Senate, so he may need a job. Earl Black, it's always great speaking with you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Tom, for having me.
Earl Black joined us from Houston, Texas. He's professor of political science at Rice University. His forthcoming book is The Politics of the Modern South. That cheering down in John Edwards' headquarters is very magnetic. Let's turn back to it. Tim Grieve is there. He's political reporter for Salon.com. Tim, what's the situation? What's the picture down there?
Well, the people are waiting now for Edwards to come in. He's supposed to speak at 8 o'clock. There are several hundred supporters and probably as many reporters and camera people here waiting for him to come. It's the place to be in South Carolina, at least, tonight.
And the word is all good. We see the Edwards numbers holding very strong as more precincts come in, still 45 or 50% with Kerry 10 or 15 points back.
That's right. He Edwards came on very strong, it seems, in the last couple of days. He spent a huge amount of time in South Carolina. He was here really for the last 4 or 5 days, but for a very brief stop in New Mexico. He traveled all across the state yesterday and really threw everything in here. He said all along that he had to win here, and that was just like he had.
Well, the cheers are high. We're told John Edwards may be speaking within the next few minutes. Was John Kerry in South Carolina much this week, Tim?
No, he really wasn't. He was in town for the debate on Thursday night and for an event Friday morning, and then he was gone. The mayor of Columbia, South Carolina, told me yesterday that Britney Spears was in South Carolina, or was married longer than John Kerry was in South Carolina.
That wasn't too long. What's your read from talking with voters today, Tim? Were they voting for the native son, John Edwards, born in South Carolina? Were they voting for a Southerner, or were they voting on the issues, the two Americas, the son of the mill worker front?
I think that two Americas stuff really worked here. John Edwards is very charismatic on the stump, even though he lost his voice in the last day or so. Still very charismatic, and he tells that son of a mill worker story very well. The economy is bad here in South Carolina. There are counties where unemployment is around 20%, and talk about jobs, talk about trade, talk about NAFTA. Those things really resonate with voters down here.
And are the Kerry or Edwards people there looking west toward Oklahoma? Have you heard anything from them about what they're projecting there, where it appears to be close?
It's so loud here at the moment, you can't hear anything from anybody. But I talked to Edwards people earlier in the day, and they were already pitching Oklahoma as a three-way tie, which is probably a better spin than Joe Lieberman's fifth place is a three-way tie story. But they're talking about a three-way tie in Oklahoma, which is better than they had hoped to do.
Well, if it's either way, it looks like John Edwards is on to Virginia and Tennessee for their votes next Tuesday off of his victory tonight in South Carolina. Tim Grieve, it's been great having you. Thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy your party down there.
I'll do my best. Thanks for having me.
Tim Grieve, political reporter for Salon.com. Well, Jack, we've got a lot of results that will be coming in tonight. 7 states to come in all, but the first one is a big splash, a big wide win for John Edwards, and yet everyone we're talking to so far is saying the ball is still in Kerry's court here. He's got his hand on the till.
He does. He may adjust his message some when he looks at these exit polls. For example, in 5 of the 7 states, 8 in 10 voters feel the national economy needs improvement. And on the economy, in South Carolina, Edwards beat Kerry 2-1. Kerry's main argument has been the national security one. Bring it on. But lately in his speeches, he's even used the phrase two Americas. And I think we're going to hear more of that as he borrows that populist language from John Edwards.
We may see an absorbing candidate,
yes, yes.
Absorbing some Dean language and now absorbing Edwards language. But it has to be quite a night for John Edwards. He's only had one term in the U.S. Senate, and here he is making a real showing in primaries around the country and now taking his neighboring state, his home state, South Carolina. He's going to be a contender. He may well spend a lot of time in the White House if there should be a Democratic victory, whether he's a presidential candidate or not. Everyone seems to like him as a vice presidential candidate.
That's the remarkable thing, and everyone seems to like him. Even people who, you know, in New Hampshire, voters, when they asked, who do you like, people say, we like him, but we're voting for somebody else. That's an important thing in presidential politics, to be likable.
We will have a victory speech in South Carolina from John Edwards in just a few moments. We're looking at John Edwards taking South Carolina tonight. 37% of the votes there now in. John Edwards with 45% of the vote. John Kerry, 30. Al Sharpton, 9%. You can join our conversation tonight. What are you looking for in the results tonight? And is it all about electability for you? What does that mean? This is live special coverage of the 2004 Democratic presidential primaries. I'm Tom Ashbrook, host of On Point. We'll be right back. Back.